Ready for the word? Let's say this together. Dear Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, we thank you for the gift of your Spirit to understand and comprehend the written word. Our hearts are purified in this service to receive accurately your word. Questions are answered, doubts are cleared, all the myths and mysteries are unraveled. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. In this service, is glorified as we are edified alongside the body of Christ. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 28. Matthew's Gospel 1. We began last week, that was the first service, and I continued doing Wednesday service, along the lanes of relationships. And I called it this morning, the relationship plan in God's plan. And on Wednesday, I taught a part of it that I'm going to talk about in a moment. And I spoke about protecting your relationships by prayer. Which means that there are times like that, we take it for granted that we should be praying about our relationship. I'm not saying just praying for people you relate with, that's okay. But also praying about the relationship. And I'm going to talk about that in a moment. You see why it's so important. Now, I'm going to skip the first text like usually. I'm just going to repeat certain things we taught in the first service. And we'll go quickly to Exodus chapter 20. Because I have quite some things to say at this time. And just explain. You know, we've said that the background of the New Testament is what? The Old Testament text. You need the Old Testament text to shed light on what the New Testament texts are saying. So we said that in reading the scriptures, I think I mentioned this in the first service, that the Bible must be read as one book. Very vitally is to know that the authors of the Bible did not write it in verses and chapters. So they never intended that you should read their letters in bits and pieces. That's the first thing. So if that becomes your culture, it's going to affect your understanding. The second thing I also said in the first service, which is, I'm going to ask them to ensure that this teaching comes out tomorrow or latest Tuesday. The reason is that I'm teaching it for a purpose. And it wasn't planned until last week. I was preaching at a friend's church. And as I was praying just before the night, that at night, the Lord laid on my heart to share that in their church. And he said, go to church too and share the same things. I just gave them snippets, okay, like I usually do. I give them snippets and I come here to explain it in detail. So, which means that God wants us to pay attention to our relationships and how we relate. And that's why you must listen and then, get into the teaching very well. Is that clear? Because we said last week that there's knowledge, understanding, and what else? Wisdom. We said knowledge is proper facts. Remember that? We said understanding is the proper facts in their proper context. Then we said, wisdom is the proper application of those proper facts in their proper context. So we said that the Bible must be read together. There was no intention in the minds of the New Testament writers that you and I should not read the Old Testament. Let me just mention that. In Matthew 1:1, he says, talking about the book of the generation or genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, son of Abraham, which means he intends that you should go and read about David and Abraham, and David and Abraham are personalities in the Old Testament. So to know who Jesus is, you will need to read David and Abraham. And it also means that the theology of the Bible is woven around personalities. Now in Matthew 22, from verse 42 down, 40 to 41, 42, Jesus was answering the Pharisees. He said, the Christ, whose son is he? They said, he's the son of David. He said, if David is his son, how does David in the spirit call him Lord? Because the psalmist said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies his footstool. So he says then, Jesus is saying, in other words, that Jesus is both the son of David and the son of God. Now again, in our study we have said, when we say son of God in the Bible, is not a biological word. So stop fighting Muslims. Allah will be my nigga will be. You know, God gave birth. Nobody can. No, God was not born by anybody. Nobody can. That's not an argument at all. You know, it's to know what son means. Now Matthew 28 and 18, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth is given me. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, verse 19, in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always. Now the word lo, I'm with you, the word I am with you is a signature of God in the Old Testament. It's God that says, I am with you. I said that to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to Moses, to Joshua, nation of Israel, and to many of the prophets. That is God's signature, which means the New Testament writers want us to see Jesus as God. In Mark's Gospel 1:1, this is the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as is written in the prophets. The voice in the wilderness say, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his path. Then he says also that a messenger will go before me to prepare that way before his face, before the way of the Lord. Malachi 3:1, I misquoted that, where we find out that Jesus is being related to in Malachi and Isaiah 40, and both of them are calling him God. Alright? So it's not disputable that the writers of the four gospels want us to see him as God. In Mark 16:15, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. This sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. If they didn't turn, they not hurt them. They shall take up serpents. Then it says, they shall lay hands on the sick, verse 18, and the sick shall recover. So now the Lord has said that to them. He went up to heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And then verse 20 says, afterward they went forth everywhere, preaching the word, and the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following. Then it says, amen. Now, by saying the Lord, by using the word the Lord, he's conferring again on Jesus the status of that Old Testament Yahweh. Now, in Luke's Gospel, again, verse 1 to 3, Luke talks about how he picked up the accounts from different people. Then in 3, most excellent Theophilus, and we said that that means he's writing to the Gentile world. So in Luke's Gospel and 24, verse 25 to 27, we find Jesus going through all the scriptures again to explain the things concerning himself. So we said the proper study of scripture is to go through the Bible. You don't say the Bible says when you are referring to one verse. The Bible says is to go through the whole Bible. Now in verse 44, again it says, these are the words which I spake to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened thee their understanding, verse 45, that they might understand the scriptures. Now the word to understand the scriptures means to read the scriptures together. Now in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. Now we said the word word there is not speech. It's the Old Testament dabar, D-A-B-B-A-R, which means something you can see, something you can hear, something you can touch. And we saw that the word of the Lord in the Old Testament was visible to the prophets, to the patriarchs. For example, Abraham saw him. We saw that also Samuel actually saw him stand before him. And it says that word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, John 1:14. So the writer of the four gospels, which includes John here, are intending that we read Jesus as God of the Old Testament. John 5:39, he says, you search the scriptures for him, then you think you have eternal life, that they will testify of me. You will not come to me that you may have life. So Jesus is testified of in the Old Testament, and I said earlier, is not as a prediction. He is a person and personality we are going to find in the Old Testament. In verse 45, think not I've come to accuse you to the Father. There's one which accuses you to the Father, Moses, in whom you trust. I do believe Moses, you'll have believed my words, because he wrote concerning me. Verse 46, if you don't believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Verse 47. Jesus is saying that Moses had him in his writings. And not just that, Moses and Jesus interacted in the Old Testament. So Jesus is not just a prophecy of the Old Testament, he's a person in the Old Testament. In John 20:22. It says, 21 says, peace unto you, as my Father sent me, so send I you. That's the great commission. And Jesus breathed on them, or them is italicized there. And it says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I would say the word breathe there is the same word used in Genesis 2:7, where the Lord God breathed into the nostrils of Adam, and he became a living soul. In other words, Jesus is the one who breathed into Adam's nostrils. So he's not a promise of the Old Testament. Is humanity is a promise of the Old Testament. Rather, he is a person in the Old Testament. Now, having said all that, we said the meaning of this is we have to read the Bible as a single book. The writers of the epistles did not intend that you should not read the Old Testament. As I often say, they have an assumption That assumption is that you are always reading the Old Testament as you are reading the epistles. So we said, number one, you must read the Bible as a singular text. Number two, that is, you mustn't read it in portions. Okay? You read it together. You read it together. You read it together. You read it together. You don't quote any text, you know, without referring to the other ones. Okay? That's it. So secondly, we said, find the grammatical structure that helps your understanding, the use of commas and all that, apostrophes, which was not used by the writers, but that should help your preaching. The third thing we said is that the words of the Bible are not as English as you think. Because the writers never spoke in English. They never understood English. So they couldn't have written in English. So in other words, as a Christian who is serious with his Bible, you will find tools that interpret the words for you. I've given an advice, even though I wasn't paid for it, that you can get the Strong's Concordance. I should be paid, I think. Said that Strong's Concordance, it's a good one. I've been using it for almost 30 years, which helps you to know the meaning of words, alright? So, which means you must find the grammatical meaning, not the English meaning. Don't impose English on your Bible. And that's number three. Number four, we said that usually the text of Scripture is interpreting another one. They are written to be read together. So find out which text is this one I'm reading talking about. Then number five, we said go to the original text that has been interpreted. And sometimes those texts are in layers. That one will take you to another one. Find out what theology is there. What was the message there? Oftentimes the message is the same. We said number six, what is the New Testament saying about it? Why? The New Testament is closer to us in language, culture, and history. Number seven, how do you apply it in today's world? Now I mentioned this in the first service. When it comes to application, there's a lot of factors involved. When it comes to application, apart from the fact that you must have understood the meaning of the text, you have to be very prayerful. Prayer helps application. What did I say?
Prayer.
Say it like you mean it.
Prayer
helps your application. Then the Spirit of God will apply it into your world. Prayer helps application. That is why we pray the prayers, the Pauline prayers, Ephesians 1, 16 to 23. Prayer helps up. What else? The local church where you receive teaching also helps your application. Because God gives wisdom to those who lead the flock to be able to explain in clarity what is in the text and also explain to you how to apply it. So again, by observation. So when it comes to application, the proper text is the background. Then you come to prayer. You must pray. And then he will give you insight on how to apply it. Now you cannot apply something you had misinterpreted. You must interpret it properly before the application is done. Now we're looking at relationships. And I would skip a few things I said in the first service. So go there. Get to it very quickly. Now, we looked at Exodus 20 and 7. I'll just summarize it for you. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Now, of course, when we were younger, I told that them in the first service, my mom usually would say, don't mention the name of God in vain. If you say, Jesus, she would say, don't say that. Say, in Jesus' name I pray. You can't just mention Jesus like that. It's a sin. If I got worse, that if you knock on the door and she says, who is that? And then the Yoruba will say, Emini. He says, I am. She said, keep quiet. It's only God that is I am. You know, she said that so often that you cannot say I am. Say, I am. Measure your name. It's only God as I am. You know, of course, when I got born again and, got in the ministry, I made it worse for her. So when she says, who is that? I say, I am that I am. Then she would get furious, hey, yeah, be careful, be careful. And you know, I would also play with her and I'd say, Allahu Akbar, I say, man of God. You know, and that was years ago. So today I still say, she just looks at me and says, You know, she has a lot of meat in her mind. You know, but the point is, that's not what this text is saying. So in the first service, we said the word to bear, or to take on, sorry, the name of the Lord means the word Nasa. To bear an image. So in the first service, we connected that to Genesis 1:26 through to 28. Why? Okay, we'll get after that. That is to bear the image of God. We said the image of God is not your physical body, even though your physical body is involved. The image of God is a function. And I showed them in the first service, maybe we can do it again, what the word image means, salmu, T-S-A-L-M-U, in the Hebrew, the word image, we said, is something put in temples, alright, and in a conquered territory, where a deity or a king has conquered, they put a salmu there to show you that they are being represented to carry out dominion. Let's see it. That's it. I know you're already praying in tongues. I say, oh Jesus, in service, pastor, what's going on? Did somebody confess their sins today? Let's see another one. Thank you. So that's they usually do that to represent a supernatural being. Now, when God, in His order in the earth, He built the earth as His temple, and man is His image. So you and I are in God's image. Say, I'm in God's image. Let me just summarize it for you. We said in the first service, image means you are representing Him. It means you are His vessel for His presence. So we now said the word name. We looked at Psalm 20 verse 1, Deuteronomy 12 verse 11, verse 12, verse 4, verse 5, that the name of the Lord is not alphabets. The name of the Lord is His presence, His glory. So we are bearers of His image. We carry His image. Our responsibility in the earth is to bear His image, to carry His image. So we now said that holiness is our walk in the earth. Holiness is not to get to heaven. Holiness is not to be saved. Holiness is not to be accepted with God. Holiness is our conduct because we are saved. That is what it is. We looked at Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men. Holiness, without no man can see the Lord. We said in the first service that people see the Lord when we live holy. So it's not see the Lord when they die, it's see the Lord in your conduct. We said that in the first service. So now, let's make the connection. In Matthew 19 verse 3, someone came to Jesus, a Pharisee actually, I don't like to say a lawyer. And then you saw that. And then he said, what reason shall a man put away his wife? Relationships. Jesus' answer to the relationship problem was the image of God. He said, look at the image of God. He said, at the beginning, right, male and female created He them. And we said in the first service, that is a codified text in looking at what is the temple of God and what the image of God means. So therefore, the God's solution there, Jesus' solution, was the image of God. Now, when he said that, the man now said, then why did Moses give a bill of divorcement that he can put her away? We went to Deuteronomy chapter 25 verse 4. And I said to us in the first service that Jesus took them back to the beginning. He said, in the beginning it was not so. That the reason why Moses gave a bill of divorcement, which had to do with the culture of their day, was because of the hardness of their heart. God permitted it, not that He endorsed it. So which means that the way we carry out relationships is in the image of God. It's not in the image of our culture. It's not in the image of society. It's not because we are Generation Z or whatever. Or after Z, what is left? Zero. Gen Z. Or Generation Y. No. That is not our culture. Our culture is the Spirit of God. And so when He took them out of Egypt and they were going to Canaan, He knew Canaan had its own culture, gods and idols and practices. And He told them, you have to be holy. What is holiness? Holiness means you are separate. You are different. Holiness means that because you are saved, you will act saved. That's holiness. Say, I'm holy and I walk in holiness. He said, without holiness, no man can see the Lord. So that's how we closed it in the first service. Now we said that how is holiness? Go back to Exodus 20. When he spoke about the Sabbath in verse 8, and then he spoke about the salvation, which is the Sabbath, again to verse 11, the next thing in verse 12 is honor. Honor thy father and mother. So put it somewhere and say, honor relationships. What is honor? I'll tell you what honor is. You know, I'll use a Yoruba word to say it. You know, in Yoruba they say something like, there was one guy like that that was working for me, and he was doing hanky-panky. Was stealing money. So when I was about to fire him, I can fire people. I was about to sack him. He said, Oga, Ewu wo lowo mi. I said, Be mile. Let me explain that. He said, you are very heavy. That's actually what honor means. That something is heavy. I said, drop me. So that I can sack you. And I sacked him. Whether he dropped me or not, I can't remember. But that was the point. So that heaviness is honor. I mean, how something is heavy, is precious. I called one of my father's school boys. He taught him in school. The man is, he owns an airport. So, when my dad was alive, because my dad is Shegun. I used to be called Shegun Junior, but I treat it where I said, don't call me Junior. I'm not your Junior. That's just it. So, and my son is Junior too, maybe Junior too. So, I mean, Shegun as well. So, now the man, because my father was his teacher, he refused to call me my name. He now said, my boy. I said, sir, this is Shegun. He now said, it's a heavy name. That's your father's name. He couldn't watch calling me my father's name. Now, of course, that's cultural. That is what honor is. That is, you treat something with respect. Now, in the holiness of God, write this down. He wants us to treat men with honor. He wants us to treat men with honor. And how do we do it? We'll see men the way God sees them. Now, stop right and look up. God is not the one that uses Twitter to describe people. Is that clear? He doesn't use the media to describe people. The way he describes people is his word. So, if we are going to do his word, honor will mean we are going to treat people how God wants us to treat them. Is that clear? So, in the holiness of God, he wants us to honor relationships. He wants us to honor relationships. Now, let me just add this, and it's not part of my sermon, but it's important. In the culture they were in, women were second-class citizens. It was a patriarchal system. So for Moses to include mother is an attack on the subsisting culture. Which means that God's word usually will attack our cultural thinking. It's father and mother. And you notice in Genesis 1:27, it said male and female created he them. In Genesis 2:21-22, Adam, in the vision as God's prophet, he saw the woman as the side of God's tabernacle. So which means, look up, there is no gender discrimination in scripture. If you see it at all, it is because of the hardness of heart. And I'm saying that because some of us who are men are African men. I'm an African man. I know that thing doesn't leave us too well. You know, you can have an African man think. Of course, the other side, you should not have European women who are Africans. Usually we go to the extreme rather than go to the word. So, whatever relationship you are in, we're going to examine it one by one. Thank God for the Trade Unions Act, Legal Practitioners Act, Evidence Act. Thank God for the different laws, principles, ethos. But we are bound by God's word. When Israel was going to Canaan, they had their own act, Evidence Act, laws, jurisdiction, judicial act. They had all those things. But God says, you must be holy. as I am holy. So which means that there is a way we must see our relationships. Now, I'll just quickly say something that I've been teaching for weeks, that man is God's method, right? Are you here? Which means that God made all of us deficient by nature. Remember that? And we are only sufficient by association. You were made incomplete. So you will need association to fulfill God's plan for your life. Let's say you will need relationship, right? Now, there are relationships that are vertical. Some are horizontal. So there are different relationships that are going to be. There will be people above you, alright? There will be people at your level in different spheres. People that will be looking up to you. But in all those relationships, you must honor the people. Who's following what I'm saying here? Let me see your hand, come on. Let me see your hand, come on. You're following this. You must honor the relationships. And the honor must be the honor that God gave to it. The honor must be the honor that God gave to it. What is God saying about that relationship? Hear this. The way you treat relationships is the way your fellowship with God can be explained. They asked Jesus in Matthew 22 verse 36, what is the great commandment of the law? The guy asked for one commandment. He said, hear you Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. Jeremiah 6 and 4. He said, oh, thank you, sir. He said, no, go, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, might, and soul. He said, wow, hallelujah. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, for your mercy. And I think he said, wait. He said, and thou shalt love your, he said, that is the first and great commandment. He said, there's now a second one. Now, in the Greek, when it says the first one, the word is proton. Proton means foundation. That there's something else after it. So it says, the second one is like the first one. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Now, let me explain that to us. Are there people say it funnily? You know, how many of you are often grateful for good Bible teaching? Let me see. I want to show, be sure that you are often thankful and you feel like calling your pastor and saying thank you. Yeah. You see, when you see people mix mango scriptures, or like a friend says, he says it's not just mango, miss mango. Mango is by saying miss mango. Now, some people say, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, as yourself. As yourself. Which means you must first love yourself. Self-love. Unfortunately, that's not just owned by Blickle, it's an idol worship. Loving oneself is idol worship. Because in the image of God, if you're in the first service, we said the image of God makes us servants. Can you remember? We are servants. It means that there's more to you than you. So selfishness, we said, is inhuman. Selfishness. And Jesus as our high priest, we said the high priest is a mirror for all of us priests. As our high priest, he gave himself as a sacrifice. The book of Hebrews now says we also now must give sacrifices. Hebrews 13:5, Hebrews 13:6. We must give sacrifices. Now, when it says love your neighbor as yourself, I know I've explained this to you. Look at Leviticus 19. What does it mean? It's not self-love. I don't have any problem with self-love. But it's not Bible love. Now, watch this very well. Verse 18. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. Because when we say neighbor, I want to explain that neighbor. Neighbor. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. For I am the Lord. Now, who are they? Love your neighbor as yourself. Which means that your neighbor is not different from you. That guy, even though he's an unbeliever, that fellow in your office is a Muslim. But let me ask you a question. Was he made for the image of God? Huh? Was he made for the image of God? So what honor should you place on him? The honor of God. That's one. Now, let me just give you a wider application. One of the things the Lord said to Israel is that when, and he used to remind them, said, for example, he told them that when they have servants, that they should treat those servants as themselves. Why? He said, remember that you were also servants. I rescued you. Can we also say that we're also sinners? Right? Saved by grace. Are we any better than the unbeliever? No. The difference is that we have received the grace of God. They have not. But are we any better? No. Who's following what I'm saying here? You are not any better. And you know, and that goes to some things we hold on to. If you listen to the teaching we did on pride, you know, I'm your elder brother. I'm your elder brother. You only came first. Is that not it? You only came first. That is, you came and you did not even determine it. I'm your father. It's because you came first. You didn't determine it. I'm your mother. You came. God could afford to just drop men at our backyard. Right? So whatever role you are, it's an honor. It's a privilege, not a right. Who's following what I'm saying here? Aha. You are first among equals. As a parent, as an elder brother, we're going to get to other things. So I must see things from God's perspective. I must. What I should wear is not that I am the MD. I shouldn't carry rich man on my head. Okay? I shouldn't carry my PhD. What am I supposed to bear? The image of God. That is what I should carry. And he has warned us we should not carry it in vain. So, whatever I am, I see myself as a servant. As a father, I'm a servant. As a brother, as an uncle, as a boss, I am a servant. I am God's priest. If we were in the first service, I explained that the priest will carry the name of Israel on his chest, to stand before God on their behalf, then carry God's name to stand before men on God's behalf. In both ways, is God's messenger. Just like Genesis 2:15. So when it says, as yourself, is that you are not different. You cannot avenge when you are a product of forgiveness and deliverance. Is that very clear? So when it says, as yourself, anybody who has been forgiven by God, let me see your hand, rescued by God. So who are you? A forgiving sinner. Abi?
Yes, sir.
You know, Abi is a general word. I've seen my friends in South Africa say Abi. Ghana, Abi. I saw somebody also speak from London. He said Abi. He's not in Nigeria. I said Abi, Abi. So you are forgiven. So, that's why Charles Caps will say that unforgiveness is, he calls it the sin unto death. I don't. But I think he saw the weight of it. That, what are you? Who are you? that you cannot forgive somebody. No, that thing hurts me. Hot call, cold me. Are you an iron? Hey. As yourself. You are not any better. That is why when you are judging people who fall into error, who fall into sin, remember that you are not different. You being evil, remember that? Uh-huh. Say I'm evil. You know, I explained it in one meeting. So I told them, they said, yeah, I said, yeah. They nodded their heads and they were good. So I said, say I'm evil. Ah. That's very funny. Just they look and they say I'm evil. Anyway, so it means that you know how to give good gifts. You that always need help, right? Assistance. So ask yourself. So I have no superiority complex over anyone. Say that.
I have no superiority.
Say it again.
I have no superiority feeling over anyone.
Over anyone. Anyone. I know we are human and sometimes we get to boast here and there. You know? We try to say something like, your goat is better than my goat or something like that. That's pride. Imagine if you say that thing and the rapture should not happen. And they say, you are going to hell for goats. He goat. Alright, so you know, sometimes we, and the reason why we do that is because we watch movies, see how people do, and we kind of feel like, they say, a rich man. By the time you see a rich man in one African movie, just like this. And we used to call it 1,500. You don't know. That's like that. 1,500. And you say, so you now act like that. The Agbada is not, there's nothing wrong with just like this yourself. It is on your shoulder, just like. How are you? One thing I like to do is, I like to laugh at myself in the bathroom. Like, you know, you're just this. But the other one is in a show. I like to laugh at myself. Like, you're just a piece of clay with the Spirit of God. Yeah, that's the truth. You know, and you like this. Yeah. What did I tell you? Somebody influenced you to be talking like that. Who's that? You know? So, we are actually functional when we are in God's image and in His likeness. We bear His image. That is who we are. So now, who is your neighbor? Now, in Luke 8, Jesus now, they asked him a question, or maybe he did. Luke 8, look at Luke 8. Oh, that's a Luke 8. Luke 10. They said, who is my neighbor? They asked that question. Now, it's a continuation of the question. Who is my neighbor? Do you know who you call your neighbor? He said, there was a man. Notice that who a neighbor is. Don't say my neighbor is, I'm number five. Christ, Saints Community Avenue. This one is number six. No, that's not neighbor. Who is a neighbor? Certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came there a certain, don't forget, this is a journey. Priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed on by the other side. And likewise, a Levite, you know, religious folks, no, you know, I'm a believer. Now I'm born of God. Just pray and say, Shanda, blah, 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 blah. It is well. You know, but a certain Samaritan had journeyed, he came there, and he saw him, he had compassion on him. And to him he bound up his wounds, poured him oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to the inn. Now beast in those days is car. Right? And took care of him. On the morrow, he says, on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave to them. Look at all that. Then they now said, which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? They said, the one that showed mercy. And he says, go and do likewise. So, which means, neighbor is anybody that you have access to. Anybody. Your security man? Muslim or Christian? Does it matter? Nope. A fellow citizen of the country? Does it matter whether the guy is your tribe or not? Nope. He doesn't have the same political ideology like you? Nope. He's not as educated as you? Nope. He's not even described. He said a certain man, which means there is no, he can be any kind of person. Why? Because you are not different. The difference you have is that you have released your faith in loyalty and faith to God, and you bear his image. Functionally. But you are the same. So, watch this. Our relationships, right, is tied to our worship of God. Our relationship to our worship of God, and the other way around. Our worship of God is expressed in all our relationships. Where your worship of God in this service is most functional is amongst people, fellow believers, and when you leave the service. I'm talking about the bus park, the car park. I'm talking about if you get on trains. I'm talking about if you get in the bus. I'm saying if you get in the plane. I'm saying that on the road there. That is when the worship of God that you have becomes effective. Who's following what I'm saying here? Let me see your hand. So you see, that is God's plan. Now, remember, I taught you this. The reason why we live right is not to get anything from God. He has saved us. We are living right because that is the right thing that God wants in the earth. That is why we are doing it. So, we're going to break it down into bits and pieces. Are you here? Are you following this? Good. So, in the first service, we said, if we are the image of God, if we are to mirror his person, his power and glory, we are going to do it in relationships. And I said in the first service, that God is a parent. Let me see, raise your hand if you've seen that. How many know that God is a parent? Huh? Okay. Is he also come as a son? Let me see your hand. Servant? Citizen? Cousin? Brother? Friend? Employee? Employer? Very well. So, my model of acting in all my relationships is found in the image of God. It's found in the image of God and those who model that image to me. So, the epistles teach us how to bear that name. So, ministry, listen, doesn't end with preaching and teaching. Ministry continues because that is the Sabbath. Remember we said the Sabbath? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? The Sabbath day is to be mentioning, to be preaching God's rest. Then he now says, honor your relationships. So, ministry includes your relationships. As we're about to see, includes how you handle your job. How you handle your job at work is a reflection of your worship of God. How you handle your academic vocation is a reflection of your worship of God. How you handle your citizenship is a reflection of your worship. I showed you in the first service, as a citizen, they took Jesus before Lazarus in Jerusalem. Before the courts Pilate sat, Herod sat, and he said, this man has done nothing wrong. Nothing. I mean, and I'm sure it's not because he settled them. You know what it means to settle? To be established. There was no guile found in his mouth. Even though the government was corrupt, amen? They were corrupt, they were tyrannical, nothing. And his citizenship was such that he helped the poor, helped the needy, treated the orphans well, and he was a good citizen. And so, as believers, our vocation, our ministry, our responsibility is reflected in our relationships. So, the first thing I said on Wednesday is, I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you 3 minutes, 2 minutes. Write out relationships that you know, that you have. Definitely, you have family relationships. You have career relationships, church relationships, neighbors, I'm saying those who stay in your vicinity. You have classmates, different kinds of relationships. Put it down. And you will see that there's God's word on each of them. If it's in God's word, it means they matter. If those relationships don't matter, you will not be instructed in God's word about them. Are you following what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Now, we said you must pray about them. 1 Timothy 2:1. Prayer, supplication, intercession, and giving of thanks must be made for all men. Of course, in that order, it mentioned your local government chairman, the counselor of your ward, the governor of your state, the president of your country. He says you pray for all. When last did you pray for that relationship? When last did you pray for a relationship between you and your boss at work? You and your employees. You and your employer. You and your neighbors in your estate, on your street. You and your colleagues, the ones you relate with at school. When last? In fact, prayer was so important that Jesus said, pray for those who don't like you. Now, if he can tell you to pray for those who don't like you, why are you not praying for those who like you? So, prayer must ascend beyond self and self-needs. When last did you pray? For your children. For your spouse. Pray for that relationship. That relationship should reflect the glory of God. Protect it from vanity. Because you cannot bear the name of the Lord, how? In vain. Protect it from idol worship. And I said, idol worship starts from worshiping what? Self. So, let's look at, because of our time, look at Colossians 3. Are you aware that punctuality at work reflects your worship of God? Are you aware? Are you aware that God will judge your conduct as a staff of your company? He will. Look at Colossians 3. Are you with me? Hello guys, are you with me? Now, look at verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband. How? Huh? At his feet in the Lord. Is that the image of God? Huh? Good. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So those relationships are not about you and them. It's about you, them, and the Lord. And it will not change with time. Who's following what I'm saying here? It won't change. This is your spiritual life. If you are growing as a believer, you submit to your husband as fitting the Lord. You will love your wives as God in Christ loves the church. You will obey your parents in all things. I showed you last week how Jesus, even though he's God, he submitted himself to his parents. Of course, children here is relative to those who, of course, depend on sustenance and all that from their parents. That's what he's saying. Now look at the next verse. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. This is not African. Right? I made bold to say that. Neither is it European or American. This is Bible. So you have this is God's word. This is not different from prayer. Which means you have a divine assignment as a parent. You have a divine assignment as a husband. And I told you, what is it different in a Christian marriage? It cannot be affection. Omo, we are learning from the world. They are the ones that teach us all these things we are doing. Rose. Sending text. Where is the Bible verse that says you should be sending text messages to your wife? Sharing up during the day. Where is Oni in the Bible? Oni, sweetie. What we have is Lord. Oga. Oluwa Mew. And it's not wrong, because whatever things are pure and good, think on these things. Anything that is fine is fine, okay? But you see, there's nothing unique. Oh, you know, there is nothing a believer can give you as a husband or a wife that a believer cannot do better. The only uniqueness is the knowledge and worship of God. So your wife and your husband should be able to trace to you their knowledge of God, their service of the Lord, their worship of God. That is what is unique. What is unique about Jesus and the church is that he bought us with his blood. He paid for our salvation. So which means that what is critical in my marriage is my contribution to my wife, my husband's spiritual life. Of course, I'll do the other one. Don't say, thank you, pastor. So no more money, no more support. You are not drunk. You are overdrunk. No. I'm saying the uniqueness. This is what is exceptional about us. Exceptional. I'm not asking you tomorrow morning to force your wife. Morning devotion. Good morning, Jesus. Pastor has said, no. In fact, let me say this one. I've been trying not to say it the way I want to say it. I don't do family prayer. But we pray. I don't do it. It's not long ago. Somebody came to me and said, Pastor, do you know that we don't pray together? You have come to the wrong person. It's just what it is. But it's not wrong at all. But that's the one we are dealing with. Alright, so you know, that's really it. It's not that after finishing prayer, you're not praying, oh Lord, and then when you're praying, you and your husband are praying, Lord, that devil in my wife's heart, remove it. No. Don't use prayer to be harassing us. But the thing is, you know, you have a duty to God in all your relationships. Is that clear? So, when I love my wife, is that honor? When I honor to who? God and to her. When I love and submit to my husband, is also honor to God. What about my children? Huh? is honor. That is why the apostle said, if you can't care for your house, how should we commit a cell group to you? If you can't take care of your house, do not disconnect your relationships from your fellowship with God. That is where your fellowship with God reflects. Do not disconnect your relationship with God from how you relate with men. They walk together. Back to Colossians. And this is what I want to emphasize a little more. Look at verse 22. Let's go. I want us to read it together. Colossians 3, are you there? Let's go. Now, servant there means employee. Okay? That's an old word. Let's go. Okay, let's use employee. That's today's language. That's number 7 of our interpretation, right? Employee. Manager. Graduate trainee. Account officer. Talk now. Front desk officer. Receptionist. Let's go. Employees, obey in all things your employers, according to the flesh. So he's not talking about your pastor. Amen. Up of Jesus. Go on. Not with. Hold on there. Not with what? How about the money, sir? You are a Christian. Stop that. Good morning, sir. How are you today? You are looking. You are a believer. Stop that nonsense. Are you of the world? Say it genuinely from your heart. Not as men pleasers, but how? In singleness of heart. Fearing who? Go on. Do it what? As to the what? And not to. So are you in the ministry at work? Are you in the ministry at work? So are you treating your work like the Lord's work? You get there late. You doze. You do it anyhow. You are not loyal. That is a sin. It is a sin. Because that relationship has to be handled supernaturally. He says, ask to the Lord. Look at the next verse. Knowing, let's take 24 together, let's go. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive, for you serve. 25. For there is no respect. So will a Christian be judged by what he does at his workplace? Yes, he will be. That's why when we choose leaders, Paul says, does he have a good report of those in the church and those outside the church? You are the image of God at your workplace. You can't say, we don't gossip in church. It's not about church. We don't gossip at all. Is that clear? There's no church gossip different from work gossip. They are both gossip. We don't bring people down. No bitterness on our hearts. We don't sleep with our bosses. We don't to curry favor or to do anything. We don't bribe them. We don't go to bring people down so we can be promoted. That is wrong. And Paul says it's a sin. So even though it's a relationship in the flesh, I treat it supernaturally. Are you here? How many of you here, I'll come to that in a moment, you pay your taxes. You're a working person. You're a businessman. You pay your taxes. Shall I give in church? I watch my treasures grow. How does that change the fact that you have an obligation? God's plan in the earth is tied to relationships. God's method. And who told you that God will only use believers? That is not true. Who told you? Who told you that God will only use members of your church? That is not true. Who told you that God wants you only to respect and honor members of your church? That is not true. Who told you that the only people you must respect are believers? That's not true. Yes, we give special respect to believers because we are of the same clan. But we do not treat men of lesser value. No, we don't. Does it mean I can't change my job? Oh, I can change my job. But I will change my job as a believer. I won't bring down my employer to get an employment elsewhere. It's wrong. Look at 1 Corinthians 7. Are you here? Are you learning something here? Verse 21. Paul says, are you a servant? That is, if you are an employee. Paul says, you care for it. But if you may be free, use it rather. Who has the amplified version? Let me show you. Who has an amplified version? 1 Corinthians 7, 21. Who has it? Anyone? You don't have amplified? I forgot to have brought it. It means if you have the opportunity to not be an employee, use it. If you have chance to earn more, Paul says take it. Nothing wrong with that. But that doesn't change your obligation as a Christian at work. I believe that at work, a believer should be high up in diligence. If they say, oh, but this guy, I know he's very busy with church. He's, everything in his head is church. He's always singing. He's always praying. He's always studying the word of God. But you know, when he comes to his work, he does it diligently. That is a Christian. Not that you come to work late. They say 7:30. You get 8:15. You have been speaking in tongues at the work. Because... and today is a blessed day. Hallelujah. That's wrong. You are not handling that responsibility supernaturally. And you should. Look at chapter 4. Colossians. Masters. What's masters now? Employers. Give unto your employees that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Look at 1 Timothy 6. Are you learning something here? Now, Paul has a particular observation. The interesting about this observation is, it has not changed. Look at verse 1. Let as many, 1 Timothy 6, let's go. Let as many servants, now what servant again? Go on. As are under the yoke, count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Now look at verse 2, slowly. Let's read it slowly. Hold on. That means your boss is a born again. You know he loves the Lord. You've given him teachings. You invited him for convention. Say, come and hear the word. MD. My boss, GM, come and hear the word. You guys say, wow, I was so blessed by your church. Now, look at the next thing. He said, let them not despise them because they are. But rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Don't take advantage of the fact that your boss is a Christian. There are people that work with me in what I do, and I do a lot of things. Some of them will say, I said, why didn't you? I went for prayer meeting. You know, somebody actually wrote for a leave. And because I usually would, the CEO would look at it and I would consent. And said, I am going for a retreat. Church retreat. And put it in a request. Brother. I said, this is not a church. I said, you know, I'm a pastor. This is not a church. Why would you put a retreat? Because he knows that we understand retreat. Time out with the Lord to pray and fast. No, sir. That is despising your believing employer. So what I said, I love the Lord too. With all my heart. When you are back from your retreat, you will now advance. So, I said, those hours that you work, that you did not work, we will deduct it from your service. Because it has to be sacrificed. And two of us cannot sacrifice. You are the one that is simply devoted to the Lord. You sacrificed for the Lord. He said, I know, sir. I said, so what we are going to do? You will now work with those hours at some other time. I said, yes, sir. I said, but next time, please, don't test my faith. Don't put Holy Spirit in a request for leave. Are you following what I'm saying? You're looking at me. I'm your pastor, right? Very good. So, this is not a philanthropic organization. I said, we are here to make money. Everything we are discussing in the management meeting is money. Money. If you follow management meeting, after you are done, they say, so therefore, how much is coming? So, do not despise people. Don't say, because your lecturer is a believer. Then you know that he knows you went for outreach. No. Don't do that. There was and even as Christians, there was someone like that. The mom was a Christian by another church. And he's always saying, my mother, she doesn't know the word. She said, so I now said, so one day I went to visit her. It was a he. So in the morning, about 8 o'clock, the mother was cleaning the house. It was a young boy. I'm talking about in the 90s. How were you inside speaking in tongues? The nations are taking. And the mother just looked at me one kind. And she was upset. So this is the yeye pastor. I knew why. Because the mother, the elderly woman was cleaning the house. My dear brother, what is that? Oh, hallelujah. I remember the song he sang. I will never forget the song he sang that day. See his glory, see his glory. See, then he said, hallelujah. Like he was at a program. See his glory come down. I just entered the room. Amen. Just bringing shame. So your mother is asking, I say, yes, I was just trying to take some time out. Go and collect the thing and clean the place. Early will I rise and seek thee. What are you devoting at 8 o'clock? That one is gone. Start your day early. 6 o'clock. Go away. You will see glory. Poverty is knocking your door. Poverty. Like a man of God will say, poverty. No, there's poverty, poverty. What's wrong with you? Handle it well. Diligence. Some people, they are not doing that work because they are lazy. You wake up late, you pray late, you study late, but you eat early. You must be a good citizen, right? Romans 13, 1 and 2. He says, those powers, they are of God. Be a good citizen. I've told you before. Can a Christian oppose the government? Yes. Can a Christian want a change of government? Of course, by elections and by democratic rules. Yes. But should a Christian go on the streets and claim they are protesting? No! That's not the Bible. When I say some people say, makes no difference how you feel. It's God's word. You can't use cross languages. You cannot. You are a believer. Be ye holy. I get to mentor people who are in political offices. Some of them take me as their mentors. And they're quite much. And we have time to speak. And I tell them, no, you are a Christian. Someone said, but sir, I said, if you have to get it at all costs, then it's not of God. You can't want something at all costs. Some things are too costly to want it at all costs. That said, no. Go and pray about it. Go and pray about it. And he said, go and pray whether you win or not. If you go and pray, you will not win. Prayer doesn't have any, it has no effect on human decisions like elections. As I see some people just joking, professing under the place. Over the place, just bring shame. Someone sent me a video. I don't watch skits. I don't watch any skit that has to do with pastors and preachers. I don't even look at it. But a respected person said, look at this, Shayo. Someone went on and he said he saw two countries holding the World Cup, Germany and Belgium. Must you talk? Now, I want to believe the person is a man of God, because I don't think that makes someone less of a man of God. But you see, you must be careful what you put your eyes into. Someone asked me, he said, what is the Lord saying about elections? I said, go and vote your party. He said, the Lord. That's not the will of the Lord. The will of the Lord is not elections. It's the will of man. The will of the Lord is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Those who won and those who lost. Those who win, those who will lose. That's the will of the Lord. So as a believer, we allow the word of God. Now, of course, you should be engaged in all spheres. As long as it's not ungodly, it's not sinful, and all that. But you see, as a believer, you know your own work is to bear the image of God. In whatever responsibility that you have. That is your own duty. Are you here? That's your duty. So, as a citizen, as a staff, a colleague, how are you bearing the image of God? I'm going to mention five things that reflects your worship of God in your relationships. One, prayer. What did I call it?
Prayer.
Which means you pray. Well, as you pray for your colleagues at work, pray for your employees. Hallelujah. You know, it's good for people to know you're a man of God. Someone told me that his staff fell from a crane and they had declared him almost dead. They said, this man is in a coma. He said, he can't come back. Then he called me. He said that they called me to pray. He said, he's the person's boss. He said, it was really shaking because he texted me. I said, it's good that they called you. They knew you were a man of God. Because you can be a man of God in church, but at work, they can't call you to pray. So we prayed together. About last week, he told me that the guy is fine. Working, he was so happy. Because we prayed together. Now, that's more than earning millions. That's glorifying God. They can't call you to pray. They know you pray, but they can't call you to pray. There are two different things. So prayer, do you pray? Do you pray for your company? Do you see yourself as God's vessel there? I'm not asking you that they gave you a task. Come and do a presentation. You say, before I do this presentation, let's just be speaking in tongues. That's not what I'm saying. Are you here? Look at those clubs. Not clubs, countries. They will be praying. The ones that are not praying will win. So why are they praying? To comfort themselves. Have you listened to the supporters club, our songs? It's praise worship. He's a miracle walking God. I used to be a supporters club, for my school team there. So we went to play somewhere. I don't want to mention the school. So we're singing. Ah, they scored one. Oh, Jericho, don't you get up, I think when it got to four, we just started singing, he's not by my, he's not by my seat. Because our coach was Pastor Ladili. That was his school coach. He was my coach too. Hey, man, when it got to six, yeah, then started singing worship songs. Oh Lord, come now, manifest your power. Oh Lord, seven by 8-0. We now left the pitch. We are now singing. Adupe ko jume jolo, hallelujah. Wafu wa koto dozi, hallelujah. That's in all things. Give thanks. Rather spend your time praying. Why don't you go and practice? Do you understand? You get what I'm talking about here. We have very good athletes. The lady who was the champion at the world championship, Toby Amoson, that's her name. She spoke about being a Christian, being positive. But you see, she said that because she worked hard. Really hard. And that's how it is. So, we pray as we're working hard. We honor those relationships. And we pray. Number two, we give thanks. Say, I give thanks. Are you known that you're up? Do you join them to complain? They said, they're giving us Afusa. No, Afusa is half salary. So this boy is Afusa. Afusa again. Oh, you want to make it? Oh, you begin to grumble. They write a Facebook post, Nigerian employer. The devil is up and they go to church. And you write and write, you know. The truth of the matter is that many of times, wait till you start your own business. I'm not saying that the boss should pay half salary. I'm not saying, sometimes we are believers, we carry a lot of discontent from the world. And today we have to be careful. You see, most of the things that trend on social media come out of hate, bitterness, anger, negativity. It's so much. Negativity, bitterness. It has to be bitter for it to trend. It has to be anger. For you to trend, or you have to be angry, you have to lie, you have to twist facts, you know, you have to be careful. Because sometimes, when you ask people why they are annoyed, they don't even know. They're just angry. Somebody somewhere is remote controlling your emotions. But you know, you can be thankful. I give thanks. You know, you can thank God for your boss. At least you got a job. Right? I don't mean you can leave it for another one, but you also can be thankful. And when you leave your present place and go to another place, don't say, that place, is that a company or a co? Oh, don't do that. Right? Do not do that. And don't sow seeds for your own future. Don't do that. Say, well, I feel better here. I feel small. Don't say, tell us now, give us gist. I'm not a preacher of their gospel. Stay away from that. Right? Give thanks. Have you tried to thank God for your company, where you work, what you do? Oh Lord, I thank you. I just thank you. I know things are going to be better, but I thank you for what I have. I'm a contented person. At least I'm just grateful for the opportunity to be a blessing at work, to serve people, to work, to use my resources, my gifts and talents. What about that? You want to do that? You know, just be thankful. Be thankful. Number three, honor. At workplace. I know we have this culture of, just call your boss first name. Call this one, just see. Yeah? Let me tell you something. No matter what culture there is in any culture, your culture is the word of God. Is that clear? Mm-hmm. Let everybody say, you know, we're in the corporate world, you know, we went to London Business School. If you like, go to Heaven's Business School. There's a culture of the word of God that we have. A culture of the word of God. And we are not of this world. Say, be ye holy, for I am holy. Is that clear? So we show honor. We show respect. Even when your boss is not there, show respect. When your colleagues are not there, show respect. When your parents are not there, show respect. When your spouse is not there, show respect. Show honor. Finally, I said, be effective in those relationships. You know, you can do something today and say, how much have I glorified God as staff of this bank? As the chairman of this organization, as the managing director, as a sales director, as a nurse at that organization, that hospital, as a doctor, as a sales point personnel, as a last mile official, how much have I glorified God in those relationships? Have I reflected the image of God who acted as father, mother, parent, son, servant, citizen, cousin, brother, friend? I must treat those things well. The Bible in my hand is a roadmap for the life I live in the world. I am not of this world. So I love my neighbor as myself. I honor relationships. I pray. I build it. Such that when I leave my company, I go to another one. I still maintain good, healthy, cordial relationships. There's no hate. Is that clear? They can, even those who don't like my faith, will have nothing against me. Those who don't like Jesus will not be able to hold any accusation against me. I reflect God in all my relationships. As a wife, as a spouse, as a husband, how do you glorify God? What kind of words do you use at home? What kind of things you say to your children, to your spouse? Do you help your spouse build a positive Christian life? Or your Christian life ends at the door of the house. As soon as you enter, you are negative, you are bitter, you are ferocious, you are unruly. You know, you say, no, this is not church, this is our house. No, you are being demonic. How do you treat your parents? My dad said this toward the end of his life, and he said, and you know, every time I say this, I'm supposed to test, but not this afternoon. He said, and he told his own mentor to tell me, he said, I found out that he's the one that loved me the most all my life. It's always very emotional when I say it, because he never told me. He said, he told me to tell you. I know that makes me happy. He might not have lived long, but I played my role as his son. I'm not going to do it again. But the chance I had, I glorified Jesus. I wasn't going to say that to my cousins, my siblings, my wife, my husband, my brothers, my sisters, my colleagues at work, my classmates. They can say, you've really been the blessing in my life. You've always been there. You've been that person. You prayed for me. I know you were praying for me. You've helped me rise. And you know, if we all do that, you know, imagine the kind of world that we will build. God's dream world. God's kind of earth where we are His image in His likeness. Reflecting His character, not of movie actors. Are you here? Not of OAPs, not of social media influencers, not of entertainers, but not of politicians, not of, you know, business gurus.
Jesus Christ, the image of God. And I challenge you to live out the word of God in all that you do. I challenge you to take on your responsibilities, your relationships as unto the Lord. What contributions are you making, spiritually speaking, to the organizations you work for? To your marriage, to your relationships, to your cousins, to your friends. What are you doing to arouse the gospel of Jesus Christ in your conduct and your responses to situations in life generally? I think and I believe that as you take on the word of God and you act on it decisively, intentionally, from today, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, throughout the week, throughout the month, into next year, you will see how the gospel will flow ceaselessly in our nation. Blessed, stand to your feet. Lift your hands and say, Lord, I dedicate myself to all my relationships, to be your servant at my workplace, in family, to my husband, to my wife, to my children, to my friends, to my colleagues. I dedicate myself to be in that plan. Your plan is to use relationships to build your relationship in the earth today. Come on.